What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Okay, here we go. It's game week. Hope everybody had a great Labor Day weekend. I think we can officially say it now, right? We always ask. We've talked about this many times, and I think today is the last time we can really talk about this and ask, because it doesn't matter what your answer ever is. It's the last part of this answer, which is to the question, when does summer end? I guess you could say, no, it doesn't end until meteorological summer ends, which is, you know, September 20th, 21st, whatever, right? Yep, exactly. Generally, it's, does summer end when training camp starts? Does summer end when the Erie County Fair starts or ends? Does summer end when kids go back to school? Does summer end after Labor Day? It's all check, 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 check. Except I will say some kids aren't back to school till later this week. Some are back to school today, which, by the way, I've been out today. Had to get to an appointment. You could see some school buses on the road. You could see parents taking kids to school. If you are driving around, please be aware of that. Kids are back at school. And just kind of be a little more thoughtful today when you're driving, okay? A little PSA here from Sal Capaccio. Because that's me. And this is the Extra Point Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. It is game week for the Buffalo Bills. The Bills and the Ravens about to kick things off Sunday. I don't know, man. I love a really, I'm not going to say like, I hate saying like a soft kind of opening for the team, but opening up against the Ravens at home, yeah, it's juicy. I prefer the Sunday 1 o'clock against a team that you should take care of type of opening. Coaches, football coaches always say, your biggest improvement usually comes from game one to game two. You get out there game one, you're like, what's going on? Then game two, you knew everything you had to fix and all that. Like game one, you just don't know what's going to happen. And the Bills actually, over the last few years, they have not been at their best week one, right? I mean, think about it for a second. Week one last year, they did win, but it was a close game. Do you remember what happened in that game? 34-28 against the Arizona Cardinals. Evan DePasquale, he's producing for me today.
Oh, sorry. Evan, I didn't hear.
I'm asking you now. I'm just bringing you in. Hold on. Do you remember what happened in that game last year? Like what the score was and the Bills being down?
I just remember it being getting off to a bad start and just I was so worried. And then all of a sudden, Josh Allen jumps over Buda Baker and
and he hurts his hand, unfortunately, baby. Right? Yeah, that's right. I love it. Do you remember what the score was at one point, though? Like how bad they got down?
Weren't they down like 21 or 17 to 3 or so at the
17 to 3. It was 17 to 3. And then Allen had a run for a touchdown. And then Mac Hollins had a touchdown catch. And then Khalil Shakir had a touchdown catch. Like, all right, everything's good. And then after a field goal and a touchdown, the Bills had things in control. And then DJ Dallas had a 96-yard kickoff return in the fourth quarter against the Bills. And you're like, oh, my God. Then the Bills got a field goal. They were up 6 points. And the Cardinals were driving. And there was a very, very controversial non-pass interference call on Jamarcus Ingram. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Now that's starting to, you know, like the gears are starting to turn. I'm now remembering that.
Right. So the reason I bring that up is, and yeah, I'm not here to tell you it was a bad call or a good call. I think that there was hand fighting, but there was certainly controversy. If Ingram is called for pass interference, the Cardinals have a first and goal, like the Bills' 10-yard line with a minute left down by six. And we might be talking about a totally different result. All right, that was last year. Let's go to 2023. Remember what happened the opening week for the Bills in 2023, Evan?
That was the Jet Monday night game.
Jet Monday night game. Josh Allen, 3 interceptions. Goes to overtime. That's the Aaron Rodgers last, 5 plays, I think it was, right? It was
something like that. Or I think it was 4. And I was writing the game story for WGR550.com, and I just remember being here till 1-2 o'clock in the morning trying to get everything done. And, I even think about that. Their first drive in overtime was just,
terrible. It was terrible.
It was terrible.
And do you remember how the Bills tied the game? It was Tyler Bass from 50, and it doinked off the crossbar and in. Right? So Tyler Bass ties it with 2 seconds left in regulation. And I think that I'm looking at the box score, 2 seconds left. I don't think that's when it was snapped. It might've been, either way. The point is it might've been, right at the horn. And then the punt return, Gibson takes it 65 yards the other way. The last 2 years, the Bills have given up a kick return touchdown and a punt return touchdown on opening weekend. Think about that. The Bills lose that game 22-16. And by the way, they had things in control. They were up 13-3 with no Aaron Rodgers on the other side in the second half. And they wound up losing. 2022, now they played a good game. Not a great first half, but they took care of business in L.A. against the Rams. The Bills were the opening opponent for the Rams, who had just won the Super Bowl. The Bills were up 10-0. Rams tied it at the end of the half. It was 10-10. You go into halftime like, oh, boy. And then the Bills came out and just smoked them in the second half. Bills win that one 31-10. They played a good game that day. Although Josh Allen's numbers, actually, they were really good. 26 of 31, 297, 3 TDs. He did throw 2 picks in that game. I think one might have been tipped. Then, how about 2021? First game back after COVID into a full stadium. Remember that, Evan, or no? Do you remember that one?
I remember that. I remember that was the loss of the Steelers, and everybody was panicking that they lost the Super Bowl. I remember Poyer saying after the game, you guys are making it seem like we lost the Super Bowl.
Because it was devastating to come back, full stadium, first game at home, Steelers, and the Bills are down. They're up 10-6, and they're kind of down the rest of the game, and they couldn't catch up. And that was that fourth down weird play that Brian Daboll tried. Remember that when he kind of, it was the old, it went back to when Drew Bledsoe to Willis McGahee in Seattle is the same kind of fourth down play. He tries to throw the ball on a fourth down laterally, and it doesn't work out. And I don't know. I think that was the play. Either way, the point is, like, the Bills went for a fourth down. They got stuffed, and everybody criticized the play call. Steelers, this game, how about this? Blocked punt return for a touchdown. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
Blocked punt return for a touchdown.
Big reason why they lost, and also TJ Watt playing out of his mind.
That's right. That's right. Now I'm looking. I want to make sure. They didn't have a – what happened the – okay, good. They did not do anything against the Rams, but I'm thinking about this for a second now. Now that I'm looking back at this, to be honest with you, the Bills over the last – since 2021, 21, 22, 23, 24 – in three of the last four home openers, they have given up a special teams touchdown, a blocked punt return for a touchdown against the Steelers, a punt return for a touchdown overtime against the Jets, and a kickoff return touchdown last year against the Cardinals. Wow. It's kind of crazy when you think about it. Let me just go back the year before that. Bills at home against the Jets COVID year. They did not give anything up like that. The Bills just kind of trounced them. That was like the coming out party of, okay, we got Josh Allen here now in town, 2020 season, COVID, and Josh throws for 300 yards, 312 in that game. But yeah, the last several openers have not been the best for the Buffalo Bills. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just telling you that openers, you never know what you're going to get. But I'll also tell you, in that same breath, the Baltimore Ravens have struggled early in seasons too. Last year, they go to Kansas City. They lose 27-20 on that opening night in Kansas City, Thursday night football, right? The Sunday night game, but it's really Thursday night. It's the opening game, like this year's Philly and Dallas. That's last year. And it's Isaiah Likely at the end just touches the white. And that was kind of the start of the whole, oh my God, Chiefs win by the skin of their teeth every single week, it seemed like, type of thing. And that was that week when it started, and that was against the Ravens. But do you remember what happened to the Ravens last year, week two? Evan, I don't expect you to remember, but you might. They started off with a loss against Kansas City. Remember what happened week two?
Do you have it? I was almost about to say the Bengals, but that was the Chiefs week two.
They lost at home to the Raiders.
Oh, you're right. There was home a Gardner opener. Minshew game.
Yes, Gardner Minshew beats them. They started 0-2 last year, the Ravens.
And that was a big reason why the Bills played at home in the playoffs.
100% right. That's exactly right. Let's go to the Ravens the year before. So that was 24. 23. They started off hot, 25-9 over the Texans, 27-24 against the Bengals. 2022, they beat the Jets and lost to the Dolphins. Oh, remember the Dolphins game when Tyreek went wild and Tua went wild week two?
That was kind of the coming out party, it felt like, for Tua and the Dolphins and Mike McDaniel, and everybody thought they were going to be really this juggernaut.
Yep. And they were for a few hot weeks there, and then and then things change. Oh, and how about this? 2021, the week that the Bills lost against the Steelers we just talked about. The Ravens, man, the Raiders are like their kryptonite. They went to Vegas and lost 33-27 that year to open the season. So kind of the Raiders have been a bit of a kryptonite early in the season for the Ravens. We'll see what happens this week, though. I mean, anything can happen. I think this game just hinges on the same thing last year's playoff game did. Mistakes. I mean, last year in the regular season, the Ravens just took care of business. I mean, they beat the Bills. They beat them up and down the field. They scored in a huge long run. First play from their offensive, you know, play from scrimmage. Derrick Henry. The Bills were without Matt Milano most of the year in that game, obviously. Terrell Bernard and Taron Johnson. And hey, no one's going to feel sorry for you in this league. They were without those guys. And you got to have guys step up and play. And the Bills just did not play very well that night. Khalil Shakir gets hurt early in that game. He was kind of running on one leg, essentially, the rest of the game. Josh got hurt, actually, in that game very briefly on that trick play the Bills tried. It was just a disaster. But then they come to Buffalo, and the divisional round was a classic. It really was. Because even though the Bills kind of had a bit of control most of the game, the Ravens came back late. And then, of course, they had a chance to tie it, and Mark Andrews drops the ball in the end zone. And we all remember that one. When did you know when you were watching the game? Were you in studio for that game? Where were you for the Ravens divisional round playoff game last year, Evan?
Yeah, I was here during that game. I think I don't know what when I heard it, but I think we all were like watching, and Nance says he like when the play happened, he said got it, and then he said, "Oh no, the ball dropped."
Yeah, I think you're right. I watched it recently a couple times actually, a few weeks ago. I watched it again yesterday a little bit. 2 days ago. And for me, though, because I don't know if you watch the game broadcast, I think if I remember right, I have to go back and look now again. I think like the camera stand is in the way. You don't see him drop it right away.
Yeah, because it was on the near side of the field, yes. And it was really hard to kind of see it. So it did look like he caught it. And then I think maybe the official making the signal, that's when he realized he dropped the ball. Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know if I've told you this story, Evan. I've shared it, but I'll tell it now. I'll tell it to everybody. So I was probably the closest person on the planet to Mark Andrews when he dropped it. I was standing right there at the pylon. Like, literally happened 4 feet in front of me. I mean, maybe there was a DB right behind him, but other than that, I'm standing right there. When it hits his chest, I'm like, oh, you know, I'm thinking he caught it. And then just in a blink of an eye, he drops it. And you're just like, oh my God. I actually picked up the football, handed it back to the official, just laying at my feet when Mark Andrews dropped it. I don't know if you know that or not. But when I saw that, oh my God. And then you're like, what do you do? Oh my God, I pick up the ball, natural reaction, ball sitting at your feet. I picked it up, I handed it to the official, and I'm like, holy cow, the Bills are going to go to the AFC Championship game. They just had to get that last onside kick, and of course they did. Rasul Douglas fell on it. Good kick, by the way. Onside kick, and the Bills fell on it. But yeah. So I knew when that happened, like what had happened, but I go back and watch the game broadcast and you can't really see it happen. And you hear him say it and then you see the aftermath. That was Bills Ravens last year. Bills Ravens this year, Sunday Night Football. What a great, great opener. Now, this week, I'll be on today. I'm going to be on Thursday as well. You normally won't hear me on Thursdays. I'll be down at One Bills Drive covering practice. This Thursday is a little different though. Because this Thursday, I'm going to be on location out at Northtown Kia. All right. So this Thursday, come on by. You want to say hi to me, Extra Point Show, be a part of it. I will be at Northtown Kia. That's 3900 Sheridan Drive in Amherst, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Come on by, say hi, grab a Paula's Donut while supplies last. We're going to have some awesome WGR swag. You can register to win an autographed Buffalo Bills item, courtesy of Northtown Kia. No purchase necessary. And of course, Northtown is the official automotive dealer of the Buffalo Bills, and that's why it all fits together. And that's going to be Thursday. So this week, tomorrow, I'll be down at One Bills Drive covering practice. We will hear from Sean McDermott before practice. The team will be on the field at about noon. We'll hear from McDermott a little bit before that. Thursday, I'll be at Northtown Kia doing this show. Come on by, say hi. Normally Thursdays, I'll be at practice. You'll get Zach and Derek, but that's our chance to spend together and say hi right before the season, preview the season. And then Friday, I'll be back here on this show again. So you got a lot of me this week. And then that's when we're going to hear from Sean McDermott here on the weekly radio spot that he does on WGR Sports Radio 550 with me on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. Good to be with you here on week number one of the NFL season. I want to get connected with you, the fans, today. 803-0550 is the number to call. And of course, getting connected with our fans is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Want to get connected with you and your thoughts on the 2025 season. Now, Friday, we'll do a little bit more of the, you can call in with your prediction, right? Record-wise, I do that every year, like the last show before the first game, I take stock of, and I write down, I actually had it in a folder last year, of all of the different picks, which were, you know, Joe and Tonawanda, Mike and Clarence, whatever, and I said, what's the Bills' record and how will they finish? We'll do that a little bit later in the week. But today, if you'd like to call in, tell me what you're excited about or what you're concerned about for the 2025 Buffalo Bills season. Anything that's on your mind. Today's the day to kind of just absorb it and say, you know what? You're thinking about the season and this is what you're thinking about. You're excited, you're concerned. Doesn't have to be one of each. It could be just anything. Anything that's on your mind, I'd love to hear from you at 803-0550. Coming up in 10 minutes, going to talk with Jeremy Kahn. Jeremy is at our Odyssey sister station in Baltimore. covers the Baltimore Ravens, and we've talked to him many times before here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. He is the co-host of the Big Bad Morning Show, 6 to 10 a.m. So his show just ended a little while ago. He's going to jump on. We're going to talk a little bit about Bills, Ravens once again, as we do pretty much every year when these two teams get together, and sometimes twice a year, which is what happened in 2020 in the COVID year, the Taron Johnson famous pick six, that game in Buffalo. Bills win, they go to the AFC Championship, and then, of course, again, last year, same thing, divisional round, Ravens come to Buffalo, Bills beat them, Bills go to the AFC Championship, and in both years, the Bills wind up losing to the Kansas City Chiefs. What will be the end result this year? I don't know. We're a long way away from that. It is a marathon, not a sprint. Let's remember that, everybody, all right? It is a marathon, not a sprint. No matter what happens on Sunday night, it might impact how they finish. Of course, it'll impact the record, but where they finish in the standings and who goes and travels to whom at the end of the year. It doesn't have to, though. Proof was last year. Bills lose to the Ravens, but still host them. Bills beat the Chiefs, but still have to go there, right? So we'll take a collective breath Monday either way. 803-0550, of course, the final home opener at the current Highmark Stadium. Let's, you know what? I want to go in Tom in North Tonawanda. I'm going to pull him back up here, but if you can do that for me real quick while I reset my screen, thank you very much. Evan, let's go to Tom in North Tonawanda. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Sal. How you doing, my friend?
I'm good, buddy. Thank you.
Yeah, I know. I know we're all excited for the season to start, and you know, people can say I'm biased here because I am as a Florida State guy, but I really, really want to see what Coleman can do this year. I was at camp some, and he, you know, when I was there, he was just skying above people and making contested catches, and he looked different than last year, bigger, stronger, more confident, and it really looked like to me that Allen has kind of found a connection with him. You know, of course, I know it's just camp, and there's a lot to do in real games, but I think that connection could be a lot of fun this year, and using his abilities to get away from defenders, even if he doesn't have separation, and still catch the ball and make the plays, especially in the red zone.
I'm excited because of a lot of what I've heard from inside the building, not just what I've seen. Listening to Sean McDermott, especially listening to Joe Brady, Josh Allen, and Deion Dawkins, who's just been raving about Keon Coleman. And you've heard it. I don't know if you've done this yet. I saw this last night. I watched the whole thing. I'm going to give you a homework assignment, Tom. Okay, you ready? And everybody else out there.
All right.
I want you to go watch Deion Dawkins on with Nick Wright and everybody over at their show. It was like a week ago, but you can find it on YouTube. Go watch Deion Dawkins on with Nick Wright and Chris Broussard, whatever that show is that they do now. And my apologies for not knowing the name offhand. But go check it out. And it's a great interview. And then at the end, hear him and listen to him talk about Keon Coleman. Okay?
Will do. Yeah, I'm always willing to listen to Deion Dawkins. And if you can talk about my guy Keon Coleman, I'll, you know, it's a double.
Yeah, and because he's on with Nick Wright, and he knows Nick Wright is a Chiefs guy. Deion does. He has some fun with him. So it's a cool interview. Just go listen and watch it, okay?
All right, will do, Sal. I'll catch that.
All right, you got it. That's for everybody out there. Go check it out. After this show, by the way, not while I'm on. Let's go to Steve in Florida. Hi, Steven.
Hey, good morning, Sal. Hey,
good morning.
Okay, so first off, I've been a Bills fan since the 60s, and my expectations are higher this year than ever before. The first game of the season, I cannot see Buffalo losing their first game of the last season at Highmark Stadium. They're going to go out with a bang. I believe it's going to be a close game, but, I mean, I believe ultimately the Bills will prevail, even with the Ravens coming in with an axe to grind because of the divisional playoff loss they had last year.
Mm-hmm.
Also want to say that with the receiving core we've got now, I've got really high expectations for Josh to reestablish his long passing game. We didn't see a lot of that last year. I think Palmer is going to be great. And of course, Keon Coleman and Shakir, I think they're going to do stupendous as well. So I think we've got a lot of potential there this year to do great. And then, of course, I'm really relieved, as all the fans are, to see that they secured Cook. So I think our running game is going to be really outstanding. Of course, we got Josh's mobility. My biggest concerns are on the defense. Now with the injury putting Carter out for the season, you know, we've got Oliver and Jones, but we've got a couple rookies behind them. So, you know, there is some concerns there. And, of course, with the safety situation, I think that's the main thing we're all going to have to watch. But I think the Bills have the potential this year to go all the way and finally get it done and overcome what we didn't do in the 90 to 93 years, and that's win the Super Bowl. So that's what I'm seeing for this
year. I love
it,
Steven. That's exactly what I'm looking for. I appreciate your comments on that, and they certainly do have the potential to do that. I mean, whenever people ask me about, you know, the Bills and their season and what do I think, I always say the same thing. My standard answer is they have Josh Allen. And anytime you have Josh Allen, you have a chance to win the Super Bowl, period. And as long as 17 is healthy and under center, in shotgun, throwing footballs for the Buffalo Bills, I mean, that is not to take away from the rest of the team. They have a talented team, a very talented team, deep roster. It's good. Yes, are there questions? Of course. You can't have all pros at every position five deep, folks. I know. People want that. Well, what do you mean deep roster? Look at the third string running back, linebacker, whatever. Like, they have a good roster. They have a deep roster. They've arguably the best offensive line in football. I'd put it top three or four, right? Without parsing, I don't know, but it's very, very good. Some questions, but you're right about that. Anyway, the point I'm making is, yes, you're right about that. And I love the fact that you brought up the long ball, maybe getting back in the arsenal. I think that that should be and can be something the Bills need to go back to and do better than they have the last couple of years, not just last year. And the other under the radar thing that I'm really interested in this year is something I brought up earlier when the program started. I'm interested in this special teams group being better and need it to be better because the Bills got beat on special teams plays last year. And the Bills need to go into each game knowing they can win that phase of the game, especially with these kickoffs and the new rules, right? Like, again, I mean, last year, they had times last year where they just were not buttoned up enough on special teams. They had that kickoff return early against the Cardinals that hurt them in game one and almost really cost them at the end. It didn't. Remember the blocked punt against the Rams? I mean, that turned out to be huge, right? They had, 10 guys in the field that final play against the Rams on the punt that they were going to field and probably wouldn't have mattered, but those are little things that have to be buttoned up this year, and it just hasn't been up to par. I think special teams has been an under-the-radar type of deal here for the Bills this year. With Chris Tabor coming in, they should be better. I'm expecting them to be better. I want to see them better. But if you want to talk about little things where they can improve, that's a big thing, but a little thing because we don't talk about it enough. Long ball as well. Going deep. Throwing down the field. I think that's got to be better. It can be better. It should be better. Good start to the program. All right. Jeremy Kahn is going to join me next. Jeremy is out in Baltimore at our sister station, host of the Big Bad Morning Show. We'll talk Ravens, Bills, Sunday night, Orchard Park, week one. It is here, folks. Back after this timeout with Jeremy Kahn on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
It was going to be a great motivation. It was the last game that we played as a unit. So to go back there and to play the same team that we lost to, that we believe that we should have won, we made self-inflicting mistakes. So everybody's fired, everybody's pumped up, we're ready to go. But it's just one day at a time at this point. So
Justin Medibike, defensive tackle for the Ravens right there. Bills, Ravens, Sunday night football. What a great way for the NFL to start it. I mean, yeah, I love it for the juice, but man, it is very, very, very stressful, right? To have the Ravens come to town week one, opening up Sunday Night Football in Buffalo, final home opener ever at Highmark Stadium. See if my guy Jeremy Kahn agrees with that. Jeremy Kahn joins me on the Western Hotline. Of course, you can find him on the Big Bad Morning Show in Baltimore, our Odyssey sister station. Are you with me? I mean, I know I love the juice, but man, I just think these two teams, give me this a little bit later in the year. This is too nerve-wracking for me, buddy.
Yeah, it is kind of weird. Like, I was talking about it on my show today that, you know, if you look at this week, there's like seven games of teams that are either less than a field goal favorite or field goal underdogs, a lot of closely matched games. And then you have which it includes these two games, but Green Bay and Detroit, which all of a sudden got more interesting with Micah Parsons. But the Ravens and the Bills, to me, is the one you circle this week and the one that you want to watch. It seems like the league's trying to create a pretty big rivalry between these two teams if it hasn't already happened yet. But, like, this is the marquee game. This is the one you want to see.
Yeah, no doubt about it. 8:20. We all remember what happened both meetings last year. The Ravens just took it to the Bills in Baltimore last year, just really right out of the get-go. You know, the big run by Derrick Henry, the Bills just really could never recover from that, and it went sideways. And then I thought the Ravens, you know, overall, you know, played very well against the Bills here in Buffalo, but a few mistakes obviously cost them. And of course, it came down to turnovers. I feel like this game could very well be the same and similar because they are so good. They are so evenly matched in so many ways. I feel like this one just could really come down to who makes a couple mistakes and who doesn't. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how it's been, you know, outside. And you'd have to correct me going back to it, but I remember when the Bills played the Ravens, were you guys coming off of a big win or a road schedule, back-to-back road games or something last year? Because there was something going on,
yeah.
And I know we talked about, like, Derrick Henry's bigger than most of the Bills linebackers, or all of them. And Patrick Ricard is the same size or bigger than most of the D-line. So the thought process was, even in the playoff game, they're just going to come in and run the football down their throat. At least in Baltimore, that was the thought process. And what a weird game. No punts, and the turnovers are what decided it. And people hated Mark Andrews here, and maybe he's on a little bit of a revenge tour because no Isaiah Likely, more than likely. So maybe Mark Andrews gets peppered quite a bit in this one.
Yeah, I want to talk about the injury situation in just a second, but let's go back to Andrews. Very, very tough night. I was just telling my producer, Evan, and the rest of our audience, I was probably the closest person on the planet to Mark Andrews when he dropped the two-point conversion. I literally, Jeremy, I picked up the ball and handed it to the official. Like, I was standing there at the pylon. Wow. And, I mean, when that happened, it was like that, oh, my God, I can't believe he dropped it. And, you know, I mean, there's a human element to all of this. And we saw it 2 years ago with Tyler Bass here in Buffalo missing a field goal against the Chiefs late in the game. The reception, the reaction to Mark Andrews and where that has gone since that day, where is it now?
Yeah, I think it's died down a little bit. But if you want to take the knee-jerk reaction, I mean, people were losing their mind. He got hate mail, all the stuff that you hate seeing. It's like the new gamblers out there that want to send a message on Twitter to whatever wide receiver didn't hit their prop. You know what I mean? Like, it's
Yep.
It's very childish. It's silly that even some of this stuff happens. But you're like, some people are just living in the moment of how close you were to it. Because like, if you're looking at the situation, you're saying, at least here in Baltimore, we felt like we've had the best team in football the past 2 years, and it hasn't amounted going to the Super Bowl. And this team even looks better on paper. But, you know, when you get back to that point, it's like, I don't know that he'll ever have an easier catch than he's had in his life. And that was the play that was supposed to kind of get away from, oh, yeah, he fumbled the ball in the middle of the field on what was a big play. So it was not his best night. There were people who were upset that he didn't talk to the media. I think I would have liked to have heard him talk to the media, but what else is he going to say other than I'm sorry and I screwed up?
All right, so now we advance on a little bit here, and of course Isaiah likely breaks his foot early in with training camp, basically. It's supposed to be about maybe a six-week injury. It's right at that cutoff line here. You just mentioned it a little while ago. He has not practiced. He hasn't been playing, but I know there's been some speculation that he could start to ramp up a little bit here. Where are the Ravens right now with Isaiah likely and his possibility for Sunday night?
So the weird thing is that the Ravens roster this year was loaded. They actually ended up releasing a bunch of players that they didn't want to, but they just had so much talent in camp. I mean, they had three undrafted players make their roster. And the only reason I bring all this up is they could have easily put Isaiah Likely on, the PUP list or IR or whatever, get him back after week four. But apparently the Ravens think he's going to be back before then, and they don't want to risk it. I don't think it's this game. I think maybe next week, or even if they wait after the Browns for the big game against the Lions, maybe that's when he comes back. But I find it hard to believe that he would be back any time later than that if they were just, you know, going to put him on the PUP list. They could have kept maybe one of those guys that they really thought was good. Like, they cut Justin Armour Davis, and he was supposed to be an integral part of this secondary, but that's because a couple of young guys showed out. So I don't know that we'll see Likely until maybe week two, more than likely week three. With the injury he had, it just sucked because that day they were talking about an extension for him, It didn't happen. Both sides aren't close.
Okay, Jaire Alexander has not practiced in quite a while. I mean, that was a big deal when the Ravens signed him. And I know people here in Buffalo really wanted the Bills to go out and do that because the Bills were, you know, kind of going through it at corner and what their situation was. And then we find out he has his knee drained. He's dealing with some injuries already. He hasn't practiced. What's his status?
Yeah, so Harbaugh, in talking about not only him but Patrick Ricard, both of those guys, he's playing it close to the vest, and I don't think anybody should expect anything less. He's not going to tell you anything. He's going to do what the minimum that the league says he has to do. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Alexander's going to be ready, but when you look at this Ravens secondary with him, they have five number one picks in the secondary, five first-round picks, I should say. Yeah. It's just there's a ton of talent here. I don't know that Jaire is going to go, but I feel like this is going to be something that we're going to be doing week after week with him with some of the injuries ahead, because like, I think he got his knee drained earlier in camp too. But with Patrick Ricard, you know, that's that gigantic human being that's pancaking linebackers and defensive backs out there and even defensive linemen. And I think typically your safeties and linebackers are looking which way he's going, because normally Derrick Henry or Lamar is going to follow him. So if they don't have him, how does that affect the running game too? So those are two guys that are key that may not play. And not understanding whether or not they have enough options behind them. They could call somebody up from the practice squad to replace Ricard, but, you know, they've got a deep secondary, but I don't know that you replace Jaire Alexander. One of my favorite things about him in camp is it was like being at Pop Warner all over again when they were doing wide receiver and cornerback drills. He couldn't wait to get back in line to go up against every wide receiver on the Ravens team.
Oh,
and he talks quite a bit. He talks a lot.
Yes, he does. I remember when the Packers came to Buffalo for a Monday night or Sunday night game a couple of years ago, and he was just going after Stephon Diggs down the tunnel the whole way out. Right? It was just crazy. You're like, wait a minute, this guy, he would not stop chirping. So I hear you on that. Ricard is interesting because I didn't even know he was dealing with an injury until recently I saw that. And I'm like, wait a minute, he hasn't practiced. But then I read it's soft tissue, but no one has really specifically said what it is, which happens here in Buffalo too. Tre'Davious White's dealing with a leg injury. No one specifically said what it is. Do we know any update on him and what the injury is and what his status could be for this week?
I don't. My assumption, they do this soft tissue issue is what they say. Oh, we have a soft tissue. So it could be a hamstring, could be a quad, could be something. That's more than likely what I think about with a running back or like a fullback like him, whatever you want to call him, because, God, he played defensive line and fullback for the Ravens and even some tight end at one point. So the guy's just been an absolute workhorse for him. But this soft tissue thing that they keep talking about, they label that, and I guess they get away with it because the Ravens do this thing too. where they don't even want to tell you whether it's a quad or a hamstring. They put thigh on the injury report. So, I mean, I guess it's some gamesmanship. We think it's really silly, but they've always done it. So I can't tell you the extent of Patrick Ricard's injury. But, I mean, obviously they're hopeful he plays. But Harbaugh had a weird quote today where he kind of talked in circles. If guys didn't practice, and they're more than likely not going to play, but if these guys are ready, then we're going to give them a go. And it's like, what are you telling us? Which is
right. Yeah, no doubt about it. And by the way, that's the old hockey thing, right? Obviously, we're a big hockey place here in Buffalo. And in hockey, they don't have to do that. The NFL, you have to specifically state kind of what the injury is. In hockey, it's lower body or upper body. That's it. That's all you got to give in hockey, which is kind of interesting. It is interesting. See, Ricard, I think Ricard, whether he plays or not, could really alter how the Bills play. Because as you've seen, Jeremy, the Bills sometimes will actually play base defense against the Ravens. They don't do that against anybody else. The Bills, they never take Taron Johnson off the field as a nickel corner. And I'm really interested. So if Ricard doesn't play, are they going to probably spread it out a little bit more and maybe go a little bit less of the heavy package? Now, you still have Derrick Henry there, obviously. But is he really the key when they want to go and run that heavy package, especially if Likely's able to play?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what they're going to do there, to be honest. We had one of the guys on our show today that joins us every week, and he said they have a guy on the practice squad that could play the role of Patrick Ricard, but like, it's easier said than done to do what he does. So maybe they could bring him up from the practice squad if that's something that happens and still run basically. But like, if you can slow down this running game and play smaller and play faster, which is a lot to ask, that's the way I think you have to stop the Ravens. And it's weird to say dare him to run because you don't want Derrick Henry coming right at you. But
no doubt,
the fact of the matter is, like, when you go back to what the Chargers did to them their first time in the playoffs, and granted, it's a totally different audience or offense, but when you look at the way that things set up, they went small and they were just as fast and they frustrated the hell out of Lamar. I don't know that many teams can do that, go with some sort of nickel or dime defense and just play as fast as you can. It's a lot to ask now with Derrick Henry in the backfield because that guy's just a battering ram.
No doubt. When the Ravens came to Buffalo for the playoffs, I don't believe Zay Flowers played in that game, right, if I remember correctly. I don't think he played. He had gotten hurt the week before. What's he meant to the offense? What will he mean for Lamar Jackson, especially if Isaiah Likely can't go?
Yeah, I think, I think Mark Andrews is, when you talk about pass catchers, Lamar's favorite target, but I think it's slowly kind of transitioned into Zay Flowers. When you look at what Zay can do on the field, they run a lot of gadget plays with him. They'll do some sweeps, some misdirection. They'll get him out in open space. And kind of like what you guys see with Shakir there, like getting him in space, good things tend to happen. So I do think they missed him quite a bit last year or last playoff game. But the fact of the matter is, like, you have a guy that you trust not only with the deep balls but also with the underneath stuff. The only concern with a guy like him is he's so undersized that you worry about some of the hits he's going to take. And my assumption was that they might use some of those gadget plays with Keaton Mitchell, the other running back they kept, because he's like that whole thunder and lightning thing with the likes of Derrick Henry and him. And it's a guy that they really want to get a few touches a game, maybe 6 to 8, to see what he can do.
Are they confident right now in the offensive line, some of the tinkering that went on in the offseason there? Is that still something that people are concerned about? Where are fans, where is the team with the offensive line right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think before they re-signed Ronnie Stanley, everybody was like, okay, well, what are we doing here? You got Rosengarten on the other side, a kid that they drafted. He looked pretty good. And Tyler Linderbaum at center. So they feel comfortable in those situations, and now you're plugging and playing with some of these guards. They were hopeful. They're hopeful that Falele was going to win this job, that project out of Australia that's just a monster of a man. And then a first preseason game, he gets bowled over by backups, and everybody was killing him. He's better than he looked in that first preseason game, but he still needs work. And I think when you look at that offensive line, you would be worried about the guard spots a little bit more than anything else, because I think they're set at tackle.
And then up front, front seven, you talked a little bit about the secondary. What's the feeling on the front seven, especially the pass rush?
Yeah, man, they've got some special guys there. There's you heard from Matt Abike, who's just an absolute animal, and if the pass rush is working great, it goes hand in hand, and he's one of those guys that can penetrate in the middle and then cause problems and make the quarterbacks move off of their spot and out of the pocket. Travis Jones is another guy that everybody's been talking about and how good he looks along that defensive line. And then you got the who's who of pass rushers. They're not necessarily household names. People know Kyle Van Noy, who he had more sacks than Micah Parsons last year, and I think it's part of this scheme defensively. And I hate calling a guy an overachiever, but he's one of those lunch pail guys. He just works hard and he doesn't stop. And then you look at Adafi Owe, who they got to make a decision on whether or not they want to keep him as a pass rusher. But the guy to look out for this year is their second-round pick, Mike Green. He's looked everything like a premier pass rusher in the preseason. They've been kind of holding him back a little bit. He was the kid they drafted in the second round that had some issues off the field, some sexual assault, domestic violence stuff that went on that never came to fruition, but it was two separate incidents. So the Ravens got beat up pretty good for saying they had a zero tolerance policy for that stuff and drafting the guy. But when you watch him out on the field, I mean, he looks amazing, and I think he's a guy we'll be talking about for quite a long time.
And one of the reasons why they said that is because of everything that happened with Justin Tucker. Then they draft Tyler Loop, a new kicker. So we're going to see a new kicker than what we've seen for the Ravens, who've had one of the best of all time in Justin Tucker. What does that look like with Tyler Loop kicking?
So early on in camp, it was interesting. They had him only kicking some short yardage stuff, like extra point type stuff all the way up to the 40-yard line. And then he had a day where he missed a bunch, and everybody was losing their minds. And then all of a sudden, I don't think he missed since then. I mean, he's just been kicking the hell out of the ball, including a 60-yarder. I think he's going to be fine. I mean, the Justin Tucker stuff for me was so interesting because I know some of the people that were involved with it, and waiting for this story to come out because it wasn't my place to run with it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there was some truth and validity behind that, in my opinion. I trust the people I talked to, and there were so many different areas of what was going on. I don't think the Ravens had any choice, especially with the season he had. It made it easier, but to say goodbye to what I believe is the best kicker of all time.
I know, and listen, I promise you I'm not asking this as a Yankee fan, but I do have to ask, what the hell happened to the Orioles this year? I mean, a team that I thought was young and talented, and it just did not materialize in any way, shape, or form. Is it just on the field, off the field? What's the issue?
I mean, for me, look, I'm a little bit different than most people. They just want to complain about ownership and the front office. There is the transition of ownership, which we have a new owner in David Rubenstein, which he just made the statement he's willing to spend money. They're going to do some different things. They made the right decision this year about selling off with the way that things were going. But I think injuries. I mean, Gunnar Henderson, to me, is one of the best players in baseball. I still think he's dealing with a core issue. That's why you're not seeing the power numbers, but he's still hitting for average because he started the season with it and he rushed back. Their three best players played in six games together all the way up until August. So it was a kind of a comedy of errors with Tyler O'Neill just getting hurt and not being able to hit. And then you look at the starting pitching, and now Trevor Rogers is back and he looks like the best pitcher in baseball after everybody killing him for trading Kyle Sowers. And which made no sense because Kyle Stowers is another one of those guys. They were blocked. There were so many guys blocked here because of the talent. But I'll tell you this much, Sam Basayo, your Yankees, they signed Gerrit Cole and they missed out on Basayo and the Orioles took him. That kid is going to be an absolute stud. I think he wins Rookie of the Year next year if he's eligible for it. I don't know if he is still with the contract signing.
I will be looking out for the name. Hey, Sunday's the game, but Saturday, man, how cool is it going to be in Baltimore? Cal Ripken's 30th anniversary of the record-breaking 21-31 game. That's going to be pretty cool for you guys there.
Yeah, it's weird because, like, so I work a ton with Cal's son, Ryan, who does, he has his own podcast. And leading up to this, the 21-31, it's a record that will never be broken. It's one of those weird things where going through it here in town, everybody was like, should he sit down today? Should he sit down? Broke the record, added on to it. Not only that, but we also have the 25th anniversary of the Ravens defense, which a lot of people here thinks is the best defense in the history of the league. They gave up less points than anybody in more games, which is just incredible. But those two things going on, the Cal stuff, growing up here in Aberdeen, Maryland, you know, being a hometown guy and staying here his whole career, I just don't know how often you're going to see that anymore in this day and age. So it'll be fun to honor him.
Jeremy, I always love when you come on. You bring so much insight to the program. I know you got a lot of things going on there and everything with Mo and all that you've done. Awesome, man. I love the fact that you're so involved in your community and just speaks to my heart as well. So whatever you got to plug, you can do that right here if you'd like to if you want to help.
Social media. You can follow me at JCon Sports. I do on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. I do a ton of gambling stuff. That's kind of, I have my own gambling website, and this is what I've done for over 25 years. So it's kind of fun now to mix it in when it's actually legal. So
I hear you. Hey, thank you for doing this again today. Who knows? Maybe we'll talk again in January, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, I miss talking to you guys later in the year, so we just have to do it early. I think I'm jumping on with some other shows later on this week as well.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Jeremy. Be good, buddy. Talk to you soon.
Anytime, man. I'll talk to you.
All right, you got it. That's Jeremy Kahn in Baltimore, the Big Bad Morning Show, our Odyssey sister station. Does a great job. Love it. I bring that up, by the way. Have you ever see the story of Mo? Mo was a young fan of the Ravens and had a terrible disease and passed on. And Jeremy was really a driving force at raising money and being a big part of that. And I just really love stuff like that, right? We're in this job to analyze teams and talk and give our opinions on the radio. But you know, giving back like that and the way that he has in Baltimore, really love that. And that's why I love having him on top of talking about the Baltimore Ravens and the Baltimore Orioles. Hey, September 6th, that's right, Saturday, they're doing the Cal Ripken thing. 30th anniversary of Ripken's record-breaking 2,131st consecutive game this Saturday. That's wild. Can't believe I'm that old. Take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll get to the top of the hour. Coming up at 11:30, Eric Wood's going to join me. That's right, Buffalo Bills radio color analyst and, of course, former Buffalo Bills center. That's at 11:30. Lots of your phone calls. And, oh, do we need to talk about Bill Belichick and last night as well. All right, we went a little bit long with Jeremy Kahn. We got Eric Wood coming up at 11:30. Steve, please be patient. I just need to get to another break because I want to make sure I get everything in here, and then we'll have plenty of time for you to talk, and I don't want to cut you short. So make sure you stay on. I'll get to you, Steve, and anybody else who wants to call because you're up next, and we have open phone lines after that. 803-0550 is the number here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Incredible. Incredible. You know, you always... Concern is probably the wrong word, but you're always wondering, what are people going to think? We liked it. Obviously, the league liked it and made a lot of changes to kind of get it exactly where we thought it would be and tried to roll it out the right way to everybody. But, yeah, the reception has been really good. I think people are obviously excited to see that uniform in action and, you know, to get the merchandise when it comes out, too. Just a cool look. I think it really represents Buffalo in a lot of ways, you know, from the helmet to the logo on the shoulder, the Bills Mafia on the inside collar. A lot of the high points that people love to see in new uniforms, I think we hit on.
That is Bills and... Sorry, folks. That is Bills and Sabres COO Pete Guelli. He joined Jeremy and Joe this morning to talk all things Bills and Sabres, mainly off the field and off the ice. A little bit on, though, talking about the game this weekend, obviously, and... You know, being a massive game in front of a national television audience, but 37 days, that struck me. Pete Guelli said 37 days till the puck drops down at KeyBank Center for the Sabres opener against the Rangers. They have preseason games later this month, the Sabres. Bills have a regular season game coming up this week. This is the time, right? September, October is when everything starts getting kicked off. NBA then, October preseason, November start, right? But anyway, Pete Guelli was on with Jeremy and Joe, and right there you heard him talking about the reception and the response to the Nike Rivalry Series uniforms. I think the reception response has been tremendous. I agree. There, of course, is always going to be people who say they don't like it for whatever reason. That's just natural in life. But I think overwhelmingly, the response has been really good. And I like them a lot. I've said they remind me a little bit of the UB white uniforms, which they wore actually last week against Minnesota. I like those UB white uniforms. Obviously, it's not the same blue. It's a little different, but there's a lot of things different about it, but they remind me that I like that clean white look. And having Buffalo on it, having Bills Mafia on the collar, there's so many little details, as he explained in that interview. If you haven't heard it, go check it out. It's on demand, WGR550.com. But you know what else? You know where else it is? I don't know if you know this. I'm going to start making sure you know this again. Our morning show and afternoon show are live on YouTube every day. Every day. Now, this show particularly isn't. But that's okay, because I can tell you about the other shows that are. And you can go and rewatch, and it's super easy. What I do now is I get up in the morning. YouTube has changed the game. And for WGR, too. I get up in the morning, and I turn on Jeremy and Joe, even if I'm going on with them, to hear what they're talking about before I come on. And I go on YouTube, and I can see them. But you know what I do? I just put it down somewhere near me while I'm brushing my teeth, even taking a shower, whatever. I'm listening to what they're saying, even though it's on YouTube with cameras. And then if you miss something or you want to go back and listen to something, you can totally just scroll back and forth all the time. So find WGR 550 on YouTube. Watch today's show with Mike and Chris today, Bulldog. It'll be right on live at 3:00. It's awesome. And I like doing that. So I listened to that today. Actually, that's how I listened to Pete Guelli. I had an appointment this morning. And on the way home from the appointment, I said, I'm going to go listen to what Pete Guelli said. And he talked all about the uniforms, talked about the arena downtown. They redid the sound system this year. Should be a much better experience as far as listening and how that's going to impact your experience inside the arena itself. They're focusing a lot on the value once you get into the arena, concessions, things like that. So check all of that out. Now, on uniforms, the Bills are wearing that rivalry uniform Sunday night against the New England Patriots when the two teams play each other. Coming up on, I just want to make sure I have the right date on that because I think I just saw, hold on, what was that? Is that, it? Just want to make sure I have the right date. Is that the last September or first early October? Here we go. Patriots is October, first one in October. October 5th against Patriots at home. Evan, are you a Madden player? Do you play Madden?
I don't. It's not that I don't like Madden. It's just that for me, when it comes to Madden, it's like, well, once you get the new Madden game, then it's only good for a year.
All right. And then you got to redo the next one, right? I get it. I'm not either. I haven't played video games really like that since I was young, but whatever, just personal preference for me. It's just, I'll get into them too much and I can't do that. So I don't really play. My son does though. And he has Madden 26. And do you know that they have the rivalry jerseys on there if you choose the Bills?
Oh no, that's awesome.
Yes.
I wonder if they just added those.
I think so. I'm not sure because he actually just downloaded it. I said the same thing. I said, you know what? I wonder if they just got them. They had to have just updated right when they came out. How would you know? Because we just downloaded it and they were already there. And on top of that, you can choose. And someone said to me, play a Bills game in what's called extreme weather. So he went on, he chose the rivalry jerseys and he put them in extreme weather. And it's funny, hilarious, awesome. Because it's the white snow everywhere and it's the white jerseys. And some people may say, oh my God, what is this, right? You can't even see anything. I just think it's great to see that on the screen like that. So check it out if you get a chance. Check out that interview with Pete Welly this morning, COO of the Bills and Sabres. Steve, thanks for being patient. Steve, you're up next here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Oh, no problem. How are you doing today, Sal?
Good, thank you.
No problem. Yeah, in regards to like records, I mean, I think Bills can go 14-3 or possibly better, just depending on injuries or everything else. As long as we have Josh Allen, we're a Super Bowl contender. Curious to see if the Bills special teams, I'm hoping they improve with the new coordinator, because I remember earlier in the show you were mentioning how like season openers, we've given up a special teams touchdown and I think three out of the four, games. Yep. So hopefully that doesn't happen. Hopefully we see improvement. And just like with everyone else, I'm concerned, with the defense, it just seems every year, like when we get to the playoffs, like, yeah, maybe they can get us like maybe a game or two, but it seems like the losses, the defenses have been given up over 30 points a game. Definitely concerned with the secondary at cornerback two, and then also safety position. So, that's what I'm concerned with. And, that's basically,
I get it. No. Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you very much, Steve. I appreciate it. And I'm sure going to be hearing from you, more this year as we go on. The special teams component is really interesting to me because they have had their deficiencies lately. Last year, special teams really hurt the Bills. And in certain games and moments especially, that block punt against the Rams turned out to be very costly. 2 years ago, punt return against the Jets lost them the game. Last year, didn't wind up losing the game. The kick return against the Arizona Cardinals on opening weekend. I am very interested to see what the special teams unit looks like under Chris Tabor. Brandon Codrington as the punt returner. That hasn't changed. It'll be Codrington and probably, I'm guessing, Ray Davis or Ty Johnson returning kicks. And then, of course, Tyler Bass. He's had some injuries. He's had an injury, I should say, to deal with here during preseason and training camp. What does that look like? What about kickoffs? How they're going to treat them? Kick him into the end zone, he gets the 35. Teams did not do that in the preseason. Now, my guess is you'll see more kickoffs into the end zone in the regular season percentage-wise than you did in the preseason, but not a lot more because I don't think teams want to do it very often. But I think in the preseason what happens, folks, is you want to evaluate your roster. So make sure you kick it where they can return it so we can watch guys run down the field and tackle. I mean, that's what you're doing. You're evaluating. And that I think now that you have your evaluation, you may say, just kick it in the end zone. Give them to him at the 35. We'll stop them. You could say that. But that's a tough – that's tough, all right? 35-yard line, 65 yards away from a touchdown. You're really just a first down and a half away from kicking a long field goal, right? I mean, so, yeah, especially the way these guys can kick these days. Special teams rankings last year weren't good. I posted the Bills' final rankings of 2024 on my X feed at Sal Sports. Go check it out. So if you're on X, go to Sal Sports. You can follow me there. You can also subscribe to me, get some extra stuff along the way. But I have a ranking. What I do is every week I put out the Bills rankings. And after the during the season, every Tuesday, here's where they rank after week one. Here's where they rank after week two. And you'll see it. And I've been doing this for many years. So what I thought I would do yesterday was, and I put it out last night at Sal Sports, I put the rankings from last year, end of the season. Offense, yards per game, per play, rushing yards, passing yards, sacks per attempt, red zone, third down, points. Same thing on defense. And boy, the big response from a lot of you was, holy cow, those defensive rankings aren't very good, especially third down. And I agree. They were 29th in the league on third down. What really saved the Bills last year was plus 24 in takeaways, giveaway takeaway, first in the league. They need to be better on third down. Bobby Babich talked about being better on third down. They know they have to be better on third down. Taking the ball away is great. It's not a strategy you can rely on. It happens sometimes. Yeah, you want to be aggressive and take the ball away. Sometimes that's luck. Sometimes that's a ball bouncing your way. Yes, there's a lot of skill involved punching the ball out, getting to a ball, being in the right spot. No doubt about it. And the Bills have been very good the last several years, so I think they should be still good again, but man, plus 24, first in the league, that's a lot. You can't rely on that. You got to be better on third down. They have to be better on third down. Sacks per pass attempt, only 23rd last year in the league. Got to be better there. When it comes to special teams, they were 8th returning punts. Very nicely done by Brandon Codrington. But other than that, kick return average, 26th. You know, who knows? I mean, kick returns. This year, you want to have more than that and better than that because you'll have more kick returns. But average allowed, 28th on kick returns, 16th on punt returns. They got to be better. These are areas they need to clean up and be better. And it starts week one. It starts right away against the Baltimore Ravens. 803-0550 is the telephone number to call. Hey, I told you about Thursday. I'm going to be doing this show at Northtown Kia. But what about tomorrow night? Check this out. Listen up. Matt Bove, WKBW TV Channel 7 Sports Director, and me are going to be at the BFLO store tomorrow night, that's right, Wednesday night, for a live Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast. We're going to be there at 6:30 p.m., but we're going to be hanging out for a little while afterwards as well. All right, I'll be setting up right after 6 o'clock, so 6 to 8 I'll be there. 6:30 to about 7:30 is the show, and we're going to be doing it live right there and talking to everybody who's on location and watching online. That's going to be at the BFLO store, Transit Town Plaza in Williamsville. You could be a part of the live audience. You can hear us talk about the season, the game, and of course, stock up with their big selection of Buffalo Bills gear, including BFLO's own tailgate collection. All right? If you want to see more, go to WGR550.com. That's tomorrow night. 6:30 is the time we're going to be doing it. You know what else is going to happen while we're there? We are going to have Nick Ryberg, who owns Sojourn Travel Advisors. He is the one putting together the Buffalo Football Legends Cruise with WGR and Odyssey. Nick's going to be on hand. We're going to talk to him. But if you have any questions about this cruise I've been promoting, talking about, which is going to be amazing, you got to get with Nick. See him at the BFLO store. He'll be there with us. 6:30 is going on to talk about it with us during the show. He'll be there to answer any questions. A lot of you might have been like, I don't know. Is this for me? What does it entail? How much is it? Do I have a payment plan? What are we doing on the ship, on the cruise? What kind of boat is it? Don't worry. Nick's there to answer all the questions. And I'm telling you right now, this is going to be unbelievable. May 10th through 17th next year, we're going to celebrate Thurman Thomas's 60th birthday on this cruise together. Thurman Thomas, Steve Tasker, Don Beebe, Scott Norwood, Butch Roll, Del Reed of 26 Shirts, me. I'll be like the cruise director, kind of having some fun. I've always wanted to be a cruise director. I don't have time in my life to be a cruise director, but I'm doing it on this boat and on this ship and on this cruise next May. We're going to have a meet and greet night, a memorabilia night, a dance party night, a game show night, a dinner, everything. Check it out. Come tomorrow night. Talk to Nick Ryberg. Go to WGR550.com right now for more details. Nick will be on hand tomorrow to answer questions at the BFLO store at Transit Town. Did you watch the game last night, Evan? North Carolina, Bill Belichick.
Oh, thankfully, I did not. I was like, oh, I literally said.
What do you mean, thankfully?
I didn't want to watch
it was a
that
blowout?
Bad college football.
Don't you want to see Bill Belichick just get curb stomped on the football field?
I feel like maybe for a quarter, if I was seeing that, and then eventually I would have just been like, I don't need to watch this anymore, and just turn it off.
I hear you.
I mean, the highlights I saw when, like, hearing Kirk Herbstreit saying, this is a big drive for this North Carolina defense, and then they give up a 75-yard touchdown. I was like, oh, my gosh, just beautiful. Like, everybody has been picking, like, North Carolina to be really good, and I think we're starting to see that. Fair to say, I don't know. I don't think Bill Belichick is that good of a coach.
You're saying this now. Listen, I'm not trying to be condescending or funny. Listen, I think he's a really good coach. I've been saying, though, for years, he's an average head coach at best. That's what he is. He's an amazing defensive coach and he's an amazing football mind. I think Bill Belichick is kind of an average head coach, folks. I've been saying it for years. You've been roasting me. People have been yelling at me, telling me how stupid I am for saying something like that. Uh-uh. You know my take on this. I've had this take for many years, and I'll say it again. If I had one coach throughout the history of the league if you gave me a good roster, not a great roster, a really good roster with average to decent quarterback play, it is not Bill Belichick whatsoever. He's not even in the conversation. I'm taking Joe Gibbs. Joe Gibbs is my guy. He won 3 Super Bowls and went to 4 with 3 non-Hall of Fame quarterbacks, by the way. Okay? Now, that being said, Bill Belichick, this is the line, and I've said this for many years, and I continue to say it, and it's true. There is a difference between most accomplished and greatest. He is the most accomplished head coach ever. He is not the greatest. Now, if you want to say and equate, well, greatest because he won all these rings and he won all these games, he won all these Super Bowls, he has these fine. That's your definition. It's not mine. You can be the most accomplished in something, not the greatest. Robert Horry, Big Shot Bob, has a lot of NBA championships. He's not the greatest player. He's one of the most accomplished. Bill Belichick, late in his career as a head coach, was absolutely exposed as a good, average NFL head coach when Tom Brady left. He was before Tom Brady got there. Well, you can't count the Browns' years. Why? Because he had to do something pretty much every NFL coach who gets a job has to do, which is win with average quarterback play. Why can't we count it? Of course we can count it. He got hired in Cleveland. They were terrible. And he did a really nice job after a few years. Like one good winning season. They made the playoffs. Good for him. Great. Doesn't mean he's terrible. That's not what I'm saying. And I've had people tell me, well, you can't count the Browns because, you know, he took that job over and they didn't have anybody. Yeah, that's the point. Every NFL coach pretty much takes over when a team doesn't have anybody. That's why they're taking over a job, because it's open. Late in his career, after Brady left, two things happened. Number one, he had no idea how to figure it out on offense without Tom Brady. And number two, and this happened even when Brady was there, the dude had no idea how to defend mobile quarterbacks. None. Go look at his numbers against Josh Allen. Go look at his numbers against Lamar Jackson. I mean, heck, I think it was Justin Fields who beat him down in a game on a night game a few years ago. I love it. I was here for it. I'm so glad. When he got hired, I said, listen, he may win some games, may lose some games. I don't know. My concern was he is so far removed from all those championships that what 17 and 18 year old recruit is going to be like, oh my God, Bill Belichick, I got to go play for him. Mom and dad might say that to them. And then maybe he gets recruits. And you know what those recruits are going to say after a year? Pay me some more, coach, or I'm leaving. Because that's what's happening now in college football. Like it or hate it. That's the way it is. And that's what he's got to deal with. On top of what he dealt with last night, which is getting completely beat down at home by TCU. Billy Ball is back. That's right. That's Billy Ball. That's what we've seen. Even more so last night. And I'm here for it. I am so here for it. I can't wait till Fran Brown beats him down in the dome later this year. Syracuse head coach, by the way. Adam in Virginia. All right, Adam, slow me down here. What's up, buddy?
Good morning, Sal. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. Good morning.
I want to mention the defense first. I'm worried since Max is out the first 4 weeks. Who's going to play CB2 across from Christian on Sunday? Do you know?
Well, hopefully it's Tre'Davious White. We don't know. We don't know his injury status as of right now. Tomorrow, Adam, we will get more clarity on that from Sean McDermott and practice, but let's just say it's not. It's a good question, and to me, it's either Jamarcus Ingram or Dorian Strong. Now, I had said a while ago that I would think that maybe Dane Jackson would be elevated and start, and maybe that's the case, but it's probably Jamarcus Ingram or Dorian Strong, and I don't blame you for being concerned. I think that, you know, that's something that obviously, you know, it's not looking at it from the surface, you probably would be concerned. Jamarcus Ingram did have to play last year in the opener quite a bit and other times around. But I mean, if it's a rookie, Dorian Strong, then, you know, I think that's something obviously that's going to keep your antenna up.
And I know I've been hearing good things about Keon, but he needs to prove it to me before.
Sure.
Because I think he's a little bit too slow.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, he's got to prove it to everybody. No doubt about that. Adam, thanks for the phone call. You know, his game is not speed. We know that. His game is separation vertically. His game is separation with stride. And I think that the word I've used, and then Joe Brady ironically used the exact same word talking about him, is intentional. When I watch him, it seems like he's very intentional about everything he does. Breaking down the routes, top of the route, how he's going about his business. We'll see how it goes. Jeff is in Brooklyn. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Sal, I was calling actually also to kind of pair it in on the defense regarding Matt Milano. But first, I had to bring up, I was listening to the Always Game Day podcast, your live event last week, and I got to stick up for Matt Bove. And as much as wide receivers do run routes, if you were to ask Nat King Cole where he gets his kicks, it would be on Route 66.
Oh, come on! Route. Oh my gosh. No, it's route. It's route.
You've got to listen to the song, Nat King Cole.
I know the song. Okay, now listen, you do raise a good point. But I think that's because it sounds good in the song like that. So if everybody doesn't understand, I might have to put a poll up on this, okay? Matt and I were debating because we were down in signals. It was, I say route 20. He says route 20. I'm like, no, you don't run a passing route. It's a direction. It's when you run something, you go and you go sideways and forward and backward. It's a route. That's what you do. But a route could also be when you trounce someone, like in a game, right? A route. So thank you for your – I disagree with you, but you do get a little bit of love here for the Nat King Cole point.
So the one thing I did want to bring up, with Milano coming back after 2 years, I've heard good reports coming out of camp, but how do you really feel? Because with all the new on our defensive front and all of the new in the backfield, we really need the middle of the line to kind of return to what we've always wanted with Milano and Bernard, and I just kind of wanted to get your feel for where Matt's going as we start the year.
Okay. I will tell you that, in all honesty, and I've said this since pretty much the first week of camp, especially since the pads went on, I think Matt Milano has looked as good as I've seen him look in many years. The question is only, can he stay healthy? Because he's had some injuries. But he has looked as good as I have seen him look in several years, including when he was an All-Pro several years ago. And if that can stay, and if he can be at that level, I think that that is such a benefit to this defense that did not have him for pretty much all of last year until the final month.
Yeah, I mean, I think Dorian Williams picked up a lot of great experience, and I think, especially as we play, you know, Baltimore and we play those bigger sets, having three linebackers who know what they're doing is going to be awesome. But just the level that Milano can bring at this stage of his career, I think, is going to be so vital. So thanks, Sal. I appreciate
Thank you.
It.
Yeah, you got it, buddy. Thanks a lot. Good reference there, Nat King Cole. Route 66. I say it's route. It's route. When you drive, it's not what route are you taking. What route are you taking? And I say, I equate it to football. It's a passing route, a receiving route. That's what receivers run. They run routes. You know why? Because they're going in different directions. A root is in the tree has a root. All right, maybe Eric Wood has a thought on this. We'll take a timeout. My buddy Eric Wood is going to join me. Former Buffalo Bills center, first-round pick, and currently the color analyst on the Bills radio network. After this timeout, on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Rhythm. You throw in the interception, pick six by Bud Clark. Comfortable 13-point lead. And in my opinion, the way that first half went, it's a big drive for the North Carolina defense.
That was the Capital One rewarding performance, and this is a rewarding run as Gavorian Barnes is out the gate, inside the 30, to the 10. Touchdown TCU, 75 yards and no flags.
All right, we're going to have Eric Wood here on in a minute. I just put the poll up. Settle the debate between Matt Bove and me. Does the word R-O-U-T-E, as in R-O-U-T-E 20, sound like route or root? It's route 20. That's what I say. Route 5, not route 5. You could say that. I know what you're talking about. But you know, wide receivers don't run routes. They run routes. And that's directional, right? Come on. What are we doing here? So go and check it out at Sal Sports on X. I'm already losing this battle here. On 10 votes, it's 6-4, 60-40. I just put it up. It's only 10 votes in. Come on. 803-0550 is the number to call. We are going to hook up here with Eric Wood very shortly. Eric, of course, what did his Louisville team do? I got to check that out. When do they play? Did they play already? Let me see. Hold on. Oh, by the way, you know what's happening right now? Starting right now, I think Jessica Pegula is about to play too. She is in the quarterfinals looking to get to the semifinals of the U.S. Open for the second straight year. And of course, last year, remember, she did make the finals of the U.S. Open. 51-17 Louisville beat Eastern Kentucky, and I'm sure Eric was sweating that one out all the way. He joins me right now in the Wester Hotline. What's up, buddy? Good morning to you.
Hey, what's going on, Sal? You actually went to the game on Saturday with the family, and I gave the notice beforehand. We could either leave at halftime, maybe end of the third quarter, or if we stick around the whole time, then we can go on the field after the game and goof around, but I wouldn't probably recommend that. And there was about 4 minutes left in the second quarter, and I was getting pressured to leave. So, that was the blowout you hoped for in week one.
Settle a debate for us, at least give us your opinion. If you are driving down and someone said to you, would you say you're driving down Route 20 or Route 20?
Probably Route 20.
Man, you and Bove. See, I say route. And the reason why I'm like, it's a route. You don't run a passing route. You run a passing route, right? Like a wide receiver. If it's directional, and it's got to be a route.
That's just what hit my brain first. You might
okay.
be right on this.
All right.
But I would say, like, yeah, I'm driving down Route 56 or Route 20, but you're going to take a different somewhere. And I understand that it's spelled the same and probably should
yep.
be the same.
All right. Well, I just put it up on Twitter and people can vote on it. All right. Well, speaking of Louisville, the Bills will be playing against former Louisville quarterback, of course, Lamar Jackson, as the battle of the last two most valuable players, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. I mean, how pumped are you for Sunday night for an opener like this?
I mean, it's as big as it gets. Now you wish that, you know, we didn't have so many question marks with some injuries and whatnot. But all that being said, you know, you get to look forward to this matchup all off season when the schedule's released, and you're going to have big time playoff implications that come from this game. And, you know, whoever wins this one is going to have a big time leg up at potentially getting that number one overall seed. So, you know, these teams are very familiar with themselves. The Ravens' last game of the season last year was against the Bills, and our second last game of the season was against them, and it's going to be a fun one. There's going to be plenty of star power out there, that's for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. When you look at the Bills this year, some of the changes they went through, one of the things that I talked a little bit about here earlier today, I think maybe under the radar, special teams and Chris Tabor. And the reason I bring it up, Eric, I went back and looked. Three of the last four openers, the Bills have given up a special teams touchdown. They gave one up last year in a kick return to the Cardinals, a punt return in overtime to lose the game against the Jets the year before, and a blocked punt return for a touchdown against the Steelers in 2021. That is an area where I think the Bills can try to find some margins where they could be a little bit better and have an advantage.
Yeah, you're right. And you certainly have plenty of room to improve based on those stats on the openers. I hadn't realized that, but yeah, as you started going through them, I'm like, yep, I remember all three of those plays. And, you know, did to, you know, determine the outcomes of the game. And so, or make them closer than you would have liked to in those instances. So yeah, special teams, when you have two evenly matched teams like the Ravens and Bills, a lot of it's going to come down to the turnover battle. The Bills win the playoff game 3-0. We end up beating them. You know, special teams plays can play a big factor. And then who can make those game changing plays when they present themselves? I mean, you know, I don't know that the writing was on the wall the very first play of the game against the Ravens when Derrick Henry takes it to the house, 80-something yards. But, you know, those big plays, those kind of game-changing plays, special teams and turnovers play a huge factor. Because if your special teams, you know, we're talking about touchdowns that the Bills up. If you can win the field position battle in a game where it's fairly evenly matched, even, you know, coming from your special teams plays, that can be a major factor in who wins the game.
Eric Wood here on the Wester Hotline. Josh Allen, of course, voted by the players last night number 3 in the NFL in the top 100. And I know everybody wants their guy to be number 1. I have really kind of no issue with the top 3 in any order. I think what Saquon did last year was amazing. He wound up number 1. Lamar Jackson, number 2. Josh Allen, number 3. We can have this debate about MVP, and we did a little bit too much ad nauseum last year between all three of them, even especially Lamar and Josh. But, boy, how cool is it to have a Buffalo Bills player number 3 voted overall in the top 100?
Yeah, it's a big-time honor. And unless they've changed the voting process, there's not a ton of science to this. You know, at the time when I was playing, they kind of passed out ballots, and you'd write down guys and, you know, write down some teammates or, you know, guys that you had a lot of respect for throughout the league, or maybe guys that you're just friends with. And, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, Josh is getting all the credit that he deserves at this point of his career. being, you know, top one, two, three quarterback in the NFL, however you see it. He's earned the recognition that he's getting at this point of career now. So it's certainly cool, but you know, I don't know, unless it's changed a lot, there's not a lot of, you know, science behind these top 100 rankings that come out voted on by the players.
What are you most excited about with the defense this year? These are a lot of changes. The offense has pretty much been the same group, a couple receivers out, a couple receivers in. What are you most excited about the Bills defense this year and the changes, Eric?
Well, I'll say this. I'm excited, knock on wood, to see Terrell Bernard and Matt Milano start the season healthy next to each other. I think that could be the top linebacker, off-ball linebacker duo in the entire NFL. Another thing that excites me would be, you know, this kind of resurgence of young talent across that defensive line. I know Max Harrison's injured at this point, but influxing this defense with a lot of talented young guys. And I'm going to throw Cole Bishop in there too. Second-year player, size, athleticism. I just feel like this defense as a whole has a lot more upside than maybe groups in the past where you had, you know, a consistent, you know, you kind of knew what you were getting from this Bills defense, which at times is playing at an extremely high level under Sean McDermott. But this year, with all of the young defensive linemen we've drafted, we brought in Joey Bosa. Of course, there's question marks and injuries, whatever. I just feel like this group as a whole defensively has a lot more upside than maybe groups from the past just based upon how much youth and athleticism we have.
Eric Wood here on the Wester Hotline. Of course, Josh Allen in the offense, James Cook back in the fold, and of course, at a really terrific offensive line. How good can this offensive line be? How good are they, Eric? I know you have a very high regard for this offensive line and believe they could very well already be the best in the league.
Yeah, I think they're one of the tops in the league, and I think they have been for a few years now. And Aaron Cromer's done a great job with this group, and this is a group last year that had gave up the least amount of sacks in the NFL, also one of the highest yards before contact for a running back. So getting it done in the pass game and the run game, you return everybody, you have all that continuity. Second year with the offensive coordinator, I think, you know, the sky is the limit for this group, and you just hope that they're able to stay healthy again. And you know, a good offensive line can make quarterbacks and running backs look better and vice versa. And I think Josh Allen and James Cook do a good job at times of making this offensive line, who is really good, look even better with the vision that James Cook can run with. And, you know, a guy squirts free in the backfield and he makes a miss and picks up five on the play. And, you know, other running backs might have had a few yard loss in the play. And so I think as a group, they work really well together in tandem with Josh and James or whoever's that running back there.
What did you watch Bill Belichick in North Carolina last night?
I watched the first part of it, and I don't know. I looked at the spread beforehand, and something to me just said, like, they're begging you to bet North Carolina in this. And, yeah, they got the break speed off them. And, you know, I'm not a Bill Belichick fan per se. Just the lack of success we had against him throughout the years. And that had to be pretty humbling for him last night. I don't know what the expectations are for them kind of throughout the season, but they got throttled. They got throttled last night, and I don't think too many Bills fans were sad to see it.
Eric Wood, what do you got coming up this week? I think you just recorded a pod, right? Who do you have on?
Yeah, Mitch Morse. So nice. Mitch Morse, it's going to be his first regular season game out since he's not been playing for this first year of retirement. So kind of talking through all of that, the emotions around that, how much different it is now. He's doing some media stuff now. He just released his podcast, Monday Mornings with Mitch. First guest was Josh Allen. So we promoted that. That's part of the reason he's talking, making more of the podcast rounds and whatnot to promote his podcast as well. But it's always fun sitting down with him. We had some fun, you know, kind of center to center talk on the podcast. And if you haven't checked out this episode with Josh, it's pretty good. I enjoyed it.
Where can people find it, Eric?
You can find either of our podcasts, but start on Buffalo Podcast. You can find YouTube, anywhere you find your podcast out there.
All right, buddy. Listen, I'll let you go. Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to seeing you. And we're finally here, buddy. We got 18 weeks of hopefully fun, even though it's a grind. It's a fun grind, and looking forward to it. And then, of course, many more after that, hopefully.
I know. I'm excited about it, brother. And I don't know if this preseason felt longer to anyone else out there, but this felt like a long preseason making those calls. It ended on a high note as well. You know, I'll say that. It was fun calling, you know, Shane Buechele and watching Shavers make plays in that Bucks game, and Frank Gore continued to make plays, but felt like a really long preseason, and excited to get this regular season rolling with you.
You got it. Eric Wood. Thanks a lot, buddy. Have a great day. I'll see you this weekend.
Absolutely. You too. See you, brother.
All right. That is Eric Wood, the color analyst on the Buffalo Bills radio network. He will join Chris Brown in the radio booth. I'll be down on the sidelines. And of course, we'll have Bills Ravens coverage for you all day long here on WGR, and then kickoff at 8:20 PM. Also, Saturday, before the home opener, before week one begins, join us at Rally on the River. It's the home opener festival. It's Saturday at Buffalo Riverworks. Sports Talk Saturday is going to kick it off at 10 a.m. with Derek Kramer and Joe Kelly. Plus, I'm going to be there from noon to 2. Admission is free. Enjoy the Mafia Boat Parade at 1, the official after party at 3, autographs with Deion Dawkins, live music, local vendors, rides, bounce houses, chalk artists, Rally on the River, September 6th at Buffalo Riverworks. That's this Saturday. Go to buffaloriverworks.com for more info. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back here. We'll wrap up your Tuesday here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Okay, we'll keep you updated here in the last couple minutes just to let you know right now. Jessica Pegula is 1 point away. Ooh, it's 40-30 now. She's 1 point away from taking a 3-0 lead, 3-love lead, in the first set of the quarterfinals at the U.S. Open against, I hope I say it right, Barbora Krejcikova. I believe that's how you say her name. I could be wrong. My apologies if that's the case. But in the meantime, Jessica is serving. She is up 2-0, and she's serving up 40-30. So if she gets a point here, she'll be up 3-0 in the first set. Boy, it'd be great. She got back to the semifinals again. Of course, she made it to the finals and lost last year at the U.S. Open. So I'll keep you updated here. And there it is. She just did it. It's on ESPN, by the way. She's up 3-0. It's on ESPN if you want to turn that on. Jessica Pegula in the quarterfinals. Real quick, let's get to Mike in Mississippi. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Sal, I just want to let you know we don't have routes or routes in Mississippi. We have highways.
I love it. You can't say, you say yeah. Highway 89, or what do you say? There's no route? There's no Route 5? There's no Route 20?
No, Highway of the Blues, 61. And I'm on Highway 49 right now heading down to Gulfport.
But, well, you know what? Here's the other thing, Mike. In Buffalo, what we have is the. We have the. Because anytime you say you're going, like, we say the 33, the 190, right? I mean, like, not many places in the country, but the before every highway, basically.
I remember well. I spent a lot of years there. The reason I'm calling is I wanted to get your opinion of our practice squad. Yeah. A lot of people don't really pay attention to that, but I was looking at it, and I was really impressed with the players that we've got on it, and wanted to know what you thought of it.
Well, thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. I'm gonna say that every team formulates it differently. I think for the Bills, they like to have a good mix of some young talent that they are developing, but also veterans like Jordan Poyer, Jordan Phillips, who can help develop that young talent and be a part of the team and part of the program as they kind of move forward and try to win, because they believe it's important for those guys who are learning to see how to practice, how to prepare, and to kind of get thrown in that situation right away if they have to. Some teams like to go a lot younger and say, we're just developing a lot of talent, taking lottery tickets on guys. So you're not wrong to have a nice practice squad. I think they have a deep roster. That's part of it. Mike, you be good. Thank you very much. Be safe out there on highway, whatever you said you were on. Thank you so much. We will be back on Thursday. I will, but tomorrow, of course, the show will be back. Derek and Zach got you tomorrow. I'll be back on Thursday from Northtown Kia. Come out and say hi.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.